You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. Okay, here's Rick with part three of a message called, How Did the World Get So Messed Up?
The Bible says in Job, Job was the wealthiest man of his time, and yet he says this, I'm like a caravan lost in the desert searching for water. When you're disconnected from the source of life, which is God, it leads to emptiness. It leads to thirst. And you don't know what's going to fill that thirst. And it actually can lead to darkness. You're bumping around the dark because you don't know where you're from and where you're going. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:18, they've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. Now that, friends, is not a pretty picture. There's a lot of beautiful things in the world, and we can see them all around us. But let's just be realistic at the same time. We live in a planet that's fallen. So there is natural disaster and deformities, physical decay and death, emotional stress, distress and disappointment, relational distance between me and you and discord, and spiritual discontent and darkness. It is no wonder that depression is of epidemic proportions in our world. So here's my question. How do you stay happy in a world like that? First, how do you get happy? And then how do you stay happy in a world where there's a lot of things that aren't going right? How do you do that? The answer is, you do what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah was a prophet. Some of you thought he was a bullfrog, but he was actually a prophet. And he wrote two books in the Bible, one called the Book of Jeremiah, and he wrote a book called Lamentations. Look up here on the screen. Here's what he says. This is Jeremiah's testimony. I cannot find peace or remember happiness. Just thinking of my troubles and my lonely wandering makes me miserable. It's all I ever think about. And I am depressed. Then, he says, here's the good part. I remember something that fills me with hope. And everybody needs hope when you live on a fallen planet. Then I remember something that fills me with hope. The Lord's kindness never fails. If he had not been merciful, we would have been destroyed. In other words, the reason this is still going on is because of God's grace. The Lord can always be trusted to show mercy each morning. So deep in my heart, I say, Lord, you are all that I need. I can depend on you. How do you get happy in the world? You say, Lord, you are all that I need. Don't put your trust in success, status, salary, sex, or other things. Those are fine, but they're not the primary source. The primary source of happiness is your relationship to God. And all that other stuff's going to be gone eventually. You're only going to get it 60, 80 years. But you want to develop a relationship with God because that's going to go on for eternity. And he says, Lord, you are all that I need. And when I look around and I've got nothing else, you are all that I need. The reason the world is in a mess is because of sin. The result of it is we live in a fallen planet. Now, here's the big question. Why didn't God just shut it down? If the world is imperfect and we've got rape and abuse and murder and genocide and all these things, why didn't God just shut it all down? Why hasn't he pulled the plug on the planet? Why hasn't he just closed up shop? Why is he letting it go on and on and on in spite of all the evil that's in the world, the way people hurt each other? It breaks his heart. He sees it all. He grieves over it. He sees people choosing to do evil against each other. It breaks his heart. It causes him to grieve. The only reason you've got emotions is God has emotions and he gave them to you. You're made in his image. So why didn't God just pull the plug on the planet? What's the rationale for God letting it continue? Well, this is part of worldview, and you need to understand this. Although the world is broken, God is still in control. And the moment that he wants to shut it down, believe me, he's going to shut it down. So why is it still going on in spite of all of the bad and evil in the world and the sorrow and the suffering and the shame and the pain? God is allowing it to continue a little while longer for three reasons. You need to know this. Number one, to give us a choice. To give us a choice. And what is that choice? To choose good or evil. To choose right or wrong. To choose God or the devil. To choose the right way or the wrong way. Although the world is broken, and although there is sin in the world, by allowing it in there, it allows God to give you a choice. You see, here's the thing. God wants you to love him because you choose to love him, not because you're forced to love him. I can't say it's real love. I can't say I love you unless I can choose to not love you. You see, I couldn't make my wife marry me. I can't make her stay married to me. It has to be a choice. That's what love is. And because of that, God says, I want you to choose to love me, not I'm the only alternative. And so God allows a choice. And by allowing sin in the world, you can choose to believe in God. You can choose to not believe in God. You can choose to follow Jesus Christ, his son. You can choose to not follow his son. You can choose to say, I want to follow God's purpose for my life. And you can say, I think I'll just make up my own purpose in life and do my own thing. God gives you the choice. And by allowing evil to exist for a little bit longer, it allows the choice. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy 30. Today, I'm giving you a choice between good and evil and between life and death. Now, let me just say this. You are free to make any choice you want to on this planet. God gave you that free will. But you are not free from the consequences. You're not free to choose the consequences. I could go out this afternoon and shoot up with drugs, but I'm not free from the consequences of it. I could choose to go out and get in a car accident or shoot people, but I'm not free from the consequences of it. I can choose to go out and go to bed with 100 different women, but I'm not free from the consequences of it. And so I'm free to reject God my entire life on earth, but I'm not free from the consequences in eternity. God says it's your choice, but there are consequences to every choice. God gives us a choice. Here's the second reason. He's allowing it to go on a little bit longer to show us our need for a Savior. The worse the world gets, the more we realize what a bad mess we've made of it. The more we realize we're not doing a too good job, not on our lives, not on our families, not on our nation, not on the world. And the more things kind of fall apart, the more people tend to turn to God. And we say, sometimes you have to be laid flat on your back to force you to look up. It's the only way God can get your attention. He's saying, hello. Has God ever had to get your attention through pain? He doesn't like pain. But if it'll get your attention, that's a good thing. And to show us our need for a Savior. See, human nature says, I don't need God. In fact, I'll just be my own God. Human nature says, now I know in the Bible it says, don't do these things. But actually, I know better than God. And I know what will make me happy more than God does. And even though God says, don't do these certain things, I think I'm still going to go ahead and do them. Because I actually know better than God. And we always get into trouble when we doubt God's wisdom or when we doubt God's love. They are there for your benefit. Every principle in Scripture is there for your benefit because everything God does in your life, he does out of love. To protect you from heartbreak. To protect you from a lot of different things. But it is human nature to think, I know better than God what I have to do in order to succeed. I know what I have to do in order to be popular. I know what I have to do in order to get a husband. I know what I have to do or whatever. And God's saying, well, no, actually, you don't know better than me. No, you don't. But I need to show you that you need a Savior. And I need to show you that without me in my life, you're going to tend to act subhuman. In fact, the Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 3. God allows people to continue in their sinful ways so he can test them. And that way, they can see for themselves that they are no better than animals. See, what do you mean by that? When you don't have any morals, you act like an animal. When you have no conscience, see, animals don't have conscience. And so they just do whatever they feel like doing. They have no right or wrong. It's just I do whatever I feel like doing. That's what animals do. And he says there are people out there who are going to take advantage of you because they have no conscience. They act like animals. Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to be used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want to be abused by you. Sweet dreams are made. Forget it. I am not Annie Lennox. But it's good theology. Annie Lennox was absolutely right. That a lot of people act like animals. They're not animals, but they act like it because they act without conscience. And what we need is a savior. And why do you need a savior? You say, why do I need a savior? That's like asking, why do I need air? You are disconnected from the source of life if you're not connected to God. Everything you owe and everything you own and everything in your life is because of God. You owe it all to God. You need a savior. Why? Well, one reason, there are a lot of reasons, I could give you 100, but one of them is there's some things in your life you just can't do in your own power. The next verse says this: when I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Well, all of us have felt that. I could probably give you 100 things in your life that are good for you that you don't do. And you know they're good for you, you just don't do them. And I could probably give you 100 things in your life that you know are bad for you, but you do them. You do them anyway. Why? Because knowing it and doing it are two different things. I just don't have the power to change. And I would say, you're right. That's why you need Jesus. You need Jesus in your life because you don't have the power to change. You need a Savior. And at Christmas, they said, unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Why? If you didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have wasted the time sending Jesus. You need him. And so he's allowing the things to go on in the world to give us a choice, to help us come to the realization that we need him, and number three, to demonstrate his grace. God is allowing the evil to continue in the world. He has not shut down the world, which he's going to one day, because he's trying to demonstrate his grace. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he's being patient. For your sake, he doesn't want anyone to perish, so he's giving more time for everyone to repent. That is the only reason why God has not shut down the earth yet. He's waiting for you to get in the family. There are people he has created that he loves, and he wants them in his family. And he knew they were going to be born, and he knew that they would choose him, and he wants you to choose him, and he's saying, I'm waiting a little bit longer. Because once the door is closed on the ark and it starts raining, they're not going to reopen it. Once God says, okay, time's up, history's ending, we're now going into the eternity phase, it's over. There isn't a second chance. And God is saying, the reason why I put up with all of the grief and all of the pain and all the evil that breaks my heart in this world, I watched my own son die for it. The reason I put it is because I love human beings. And I want them in my family. I created them. And I want you. And I'm waiting just a little bit longer, giving you a little bit more time. I'm being patient. So you will come to know me and repent. That's why he's doing it. It shows his grace. Now listen, when somebody comes to you and says this, you know what? I just can't believe in a God or follow a God or love and worship a God who would callously allow children to suffer and women to be raped. Here's what you say to that person. I could neither, and I don't. And I could not worship a God, and I don't believe in that kind of God. In fact, he's not callous. You have no idea how much sin hurts God. He grieves over it every second of the day. He sees every wife being beaten, every child being abused, every woman being raped, every person being hurt. He sees it all, and he grieves, and he weeps, and he sorrows, and everything in him wants to just shut it all down and say, enough's enough. But he's letting it go because he wants you to know him. That's how much he loves you. He's waiting for you to say yes, because when the door shut, it's shut. And he cares about those illnesses and those diseases and those people who are suffering in the world far more than you do. Don't ever accuse God of callousness. He thinks about it every second far more than you do. You don't think about it every second. You're thinking about yourself. And believe me, I believe in a God who one day is going to stop evil dead in its tracks. And he's going to shut down the world, and he's going to judge with a holy wrath the evildoers in the world and judge it all. And he's going to take those who have loved him to a perfect place of perfection that he has called heaven, where we will live with him without evil forever. That's the kind of God I believe in. That's the kind of God the Bible talks about. And the only reason he's holding back his fierce judgment on all the sin and all the evil on this world is because he loves you. And he's giving you a chance, a choice, a chance, and an opportunity to know him. It's for your benefit. And he's waiting for you and some others in his family to come in.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow Him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people who are going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.